This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for this direction. We thank you for this pasture that you have brought to us, even as an assembly. We thank you for the help that you have bringing to every heart, every individual this morning. Father, we pray that even as we go into this lesson, we pray that you cause our eyes to be opened, because our understanding to be quickened, because our ears to hear your very words in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that even you will help me to be able to bring forth this word as you desire, that I will not speak of myself, but I will speak that which is in your very heart. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we shout hallelujah? All right, this morning we are starting a new series, and the theme will be Vision of the Harvest in the Latter Times. And this is lesson one. We'll be introducing it. We have four objectives primarily, which is to ground believers in the awareness and understanding of the vision of the harvest in the latter times. I want to trace the origin, the creation, and the fall of man, and the consequences that came with it. We also want to expose the influence and civilization of hell, which leads men along the path of destruction upon the earth. And lastly, we want to reveal God's redemptive plan to deliver all men from hellish nature and its forces. Let's quickly open our Bible to John chapter 3. Whenever you hear the word harvest, you know that harvest is around the Lord Jesus, the only being that made harvest possible. You know, is the person of Jesus. John chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Luke chapter 15, from verse 1 to 10. So then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Talking about Jesus here. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Romans 3:23. Let's all read this together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Habakkuk 2:14. We are all going to read this together. 1, 2, go. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. Lastly, Hebrews 6:7-8. Say, for the earth, we drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Amen. All right, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is designed to receive from heaven and yield its increase and fruit. God ordained seed time and harvest for the earth to run its course and produce in its strength. You can see all these things spelled out in Genesis 1:1, Genesis 8:22 after the flood, when God decreed that, you know, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Also see that in Ecclesiastes 3:2. You know, it says that a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You know, when you look at Psalms, Isaiah 55 says, as the rain that cometh, you know, from heaven, you know, and watereth the ground, and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. The so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Can we say amen? Amen. Psalm 65:9. See, thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the rivers of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, when thou hast so provided for it. Psalm 67:6. See, says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. Let's just quickly read through this introduction. See, however, the earth went out of course. The earth went out of course, lost alignment with the heavens, and drew sustenance from another source. Hence, the earth lost its strength and brought forth briars and thorns. You know what briars are? Briars are also similar to thorns, but they are like plants that grow together in clusters, but around them, you know, are thorns. They are not really useful for food. You can see the earth going out of course in Psalm 82:5. It said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And then we can see James 5 refers to the Lord as the husbandman, you know, that is patiently waiting. Said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter. In this series, we'll consider what role man plays in the harvest of the earth. While men are the harvest, God also needs men to labor with him for the harvest and desires that none be lost. So basically, you know, what we are looking at in this introduction, you know, we are showing what we are going to be talking about, you know, in this series. Because when you look at the languages God uses for the earth in the book of Genesis, Lord will tell the earth to bring forth. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. You know, when Lord wanted to tell the earth to bring forth plants, trees, the language that they used was bring forth. Bring forth. Meaning that the earth is a place that brings forth. No, primarily, say, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. See, I also use for the water, say, let the waters also bring forth. So we can see that the earth primarily is a place for bringing forth. And the way God designed it, earth was not meant to operate outside heaven. In the beginning, God did what? He created heaven and what? And the earth. So there is a sink that is supposed to be going on between heaven and the earth. Because if the heaven does not give rain, the earth cannot bring forth. We can see this, you know, in the story of Elijah and the children of Israel. I think Luke 4:25. I think Jesus was referring to that. Now we can see that why there was drought in the land. Yeah, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up. How many years? 3 years and 6 months. And what? When great famine was throughout the land. So when you look at heaven and the earth, they are meant to work together. Isaiah 55 was saying that as the rain comes down to the earth and the snow and watereth the earth. So that watering of the earth is what gives the earth an enablement, a strength to bring forth as it ought to. So we can see that, you know, the earth in itself, by itself, although it is designed to be a place of birth. How many of you can see the way the earth is? So it was created like a womb, right? The earth is created like a what? A womb. Because in the mind of God, what God wanted to do, because when you want to compare creation, when you want to compare the heavens of the cherubims, heavens of the seraphims, heavens of the works, and then the earth of man, you will know that the one that has the highest level of glory and lustre is not the earth. Heavens are more beautiful, they are more glorious than the realms of earth. And the reason why God made that is because as beautiful as heaven is, they were created for the purpose of the earth. Heaven in all its beauty and its hosts in their innumerable company were created because of earth that looked ordinary and without as much glory as they have. Now that is why when God made Adam, he was made a little lower than the angels. Because when you look at God, God's eternal desire is for harvest. God's desire. God was not just bored and say, okay, let me just add to my adventure list. Let me create something. No. God is very intentional about creation. And when God stepped out of his realm and began to create, it was with an intention for harvest. That's why the man that they put in the garden, that man, you know, when you say a man is a seed, you can say, ah, how come he's not? When you look at the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 13, when he was talking about, you know, a sower sowed good seed in his field, and then when men slept, the enemy came and also sowed among those seed. And when they woke up in the morning and then the stuff began to grow, they also saw that tares were green with the wheat, right? When Jesus wanted to interpret, he was saying that the good seed are the children of what? Of the kingdom. So, children of the kingdom can be seed. So, a man can be a seed. You know, children of the kingdom are not just believers. They are not just, oh, I've given my, I'm born again. Then you are a child of the kingdom. No. No. Scripture is very careful with use of words. Because when he also said, talked about the bad seed that was sown, he called them children of the wicked one. He didn't just say children of the devil. They were identifying a particular nature of wickedness that this man has come into that qualified them as children of the wicked one. An unbeliever out there is not yet a child of the wicked one. Satan can be his father, but he has not inherited the genes of wickedness yet. So when they say a child of the kingdom, being a seed planted in the field, I'm just trying to bring out something from there, that a man can be a seed. So when you look at that man, Adam, the planting of that man in the Garden of Eden was because God wanted many. So look at the proclamations that God brought upon him. And God told him, I say God blessed him, saying, be fruitful. And what? You don't tell something that is not a seed to be fruitful. Meaning that Adam had in himself capacity to bring forth fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. You would have thought the earth was in its best state, but he said replenish the earth. So Adam was created as a living soul man, but that was not the best that man could be. So he could still grow and be fruitful and come into multiplication. Now when he begins to multiply, there's a supply he can give to the earth. That they call that word replenish means renew or bring to fullness. So Adam was meant to bring the earth to its fullness by reason of being fruitful and multiplying. So God's intention is to reap harvest of the earth. Heaven cannot give God harvest. Heaven, say heaven, heaven cannot give God harvest because angels are said so. So when God was creating angels, he created them in a way that they cannot outgrow what they have been made to be. But if you are going to be fruitful and multiply, you must have capacity to grow. That was the difference between man and angels. So the dynamics of your soul is that your soul can grow. Your body can grow. But angels are more glorious, but they can't grow. That's why our Lord Jesus was made flesh. But he was made flesh and he grew through the ranks and became better than angels. So angels are there, but they can't grow beyond how they were. No, I felt that was part of the frustration of Lucifer. That a man that is lower than us will grow through the ranks and become better than us. Then he said, no, I want to be like the Most High. But that was outside the curriculum of his building. They did not install that software in his system. There are some software that when you install on a part, you know, there's something that Windows operating system can do. And maybe Mac on the other, maybe Linux and the likes can also do. When you now want to carry out some, maybe music cross function, and maybe run what is on this other one, it will give you an error that this thing does not have. I don't know if you try to install an application, it's saying that there are some prerequisite things that this particular OS does not have. So you cannot run it on this. So that desire that Lucifer had was way beyond how he was framed. So we are saying all that to say that God desires fruit of the earth. The intention of God, why he came and made heaven and earth, is primarily because of harvest. And every soul, every man on earth must know that your life is an investment. Every man must know that you are not a mistake on the face of the earth. Every man must know that God the Father desires to reap harvest from you. If we don't know, we will not know how to labor. We will not even labor with the idea, with the understanding that God has a desire for harvest. Let's look at the creation of man quickly. Before creation, man existed in the foreknowledge and counsel of God. He originates from him and is the most precious of all that was created. He is placed at the center and made an overseer of his earthly works. You can see that in Psalm 90, verse 1 to 3, Ephesians 1, 11, and Psalm 8, verse 4. Okay, let me read Psalm 90. Say, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return ye, children of men. So what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. We also saw this in Hebrews 2, verse 6 to 8. Everything God made was good, and in a shadow, they reflect an essence or reality in him. Man, however, was made to bear the very image and likeness of God. He was crowned with glory and honor, and given dominion over all the works of God's hand, even all that the earth contains. Man is tripartite, and was made a living soul by the breath within him. By this he can conceive the thoughts and retain the knowledge of God. Among all creation, like what we said earlier, he is capacitated to grow and undergo change until he becomes like God. Romans 8:29 speaks about our conforming to the image of the Son, who is the express image of his glory, brightness of his person. Say, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave the earth to man, and he is the foothold through which God's agenda, thoughts, and plan for the earth are established. Man was God's sovereign arm. He is to represent and propagate God's rule over the earth. Man is strategically placed upon the earth to colonize and influence the whole earth. He is the gateway and the entry point into the earth. When you look at that man Adam was the governor of the earth. He was the one that God put in charge of the whole earth. Adam was not a prey to the earth. Instead, he was the ruler. He was the king. He was the one that had dominion upon the earth. You know, nothing could enter the earth without Adam's permission. That's how powerful man is. That's how God made man. You know, when you look at man today, man is fighting over two plots of land, killing themselves, when the original man ruled the whole earth. It was by him that things could enter the earth. God is powerful. You know, yesterday when meditating, I was just, you know, trying to see how that man, Adam, was and what Satan came to do. You know, can you see this phone? Do you know that as your phone is seated with you like this, it's also connected somewhere? The fact that you can pick up your phone and make a call and it connects, it's not that call that makes it to be connected. But rather it is connected, that's why it can make that call. So your phone can just be with you, but there are radio waves, signals being transmitted from this device to, they call them cell towers, around you. So it connects to the nearest, right? So when you are moving, let's say maybe you are in a car, there's something called handover. It hands you over from where you were before to the nearest one. So it just looks like, oh, it's still the same thing I'm using. But then you go to some places and then you see the X sign. What does that mean? No network coverage. Mean that you have gone out of the jurisdiction of cell masts that carry what this thing can connect to. That's how man and God used to be. But when sin came, you see that X like this. Sin took man to a place where there was God's network coverage. Man was trying to find signal, but signal was gone. So God stepped into the earth and was saying, Adam, where are you? So can you see the power of sin? That Adam, his frequency was 247. So God could come in the cool of the day. Does not mean that throughout the day was not connected. His spirit was always, because what your SIM card does is that your SIM card has a unique identity that shows that, oh, this SIM card is an MTN SIM card. Okay, thereby you can give this person connection. That's why your SIM card did not mistakenly connect to Glow. Do you get what I'm saying? So that connection has always been there. But what sin came to do to the spirit, there's something they call, you know, how many of you have gone to banks before? When you go to bank and then their counter area, suddenly see that no network signal. Why? There is a way they built that place that it can successfully push out, because those things, they travel on waves. So if you can get something that can block out that wave, your phone will not have that signal, even if it is around. So they call it, they can build a box or a cage or the materials they use to build that house. If you build certain materials, you can be in your house, but you will not connect. So what sin came to do is that it came to bring that separation. That even though God is still there transmitting, the spirit can no longer receive that signal. So you carry your phone. There's X. There's power on the phone. But the phone cannot connect. So when they say the spirit man died, it's not kweme. It's not that he went out of existence. Death in that sense is that he lost touch with God. It lost its original connection. That consistent transference of spirit that was ongoing 24/7, man lost it. But thank God that man, you know, also has a soul and he lives in a body. No, Satan would have won if man was only a spirit. You would have won. But you know that even if you are, if you remove your SIM card, you know you can't call Abby. But you know there are inbuilt things in this phone that you can connect to Wi-Fi. You can come and on Wi-Fi for you. And you will connect. And you will still browse. But SIM is not working. I'm not saying that's the exact picture. I'm just trying to show you something. That the soul also had inbuilt capacities that can still connect God. Even when the spirit man had died. That was what men were using over the years. Their unique identifier has died. But then, God will still come. You know, that was why when you look at the book of Genesis, you know, God cast them out of the garden, right? But then, they were still in the presence of God. How many of you read that place? They were still in the presence of God. Because the first man that left the presence of God was Cain. So God still came with Wi-Fi. Oh yeah, connect. So that you will not die finish. That's the mercy of God. But a man woke up and said, I don't want this signal. Allow me to go. That was how Cain left the presence of God. So that man, spirit, soul, and body, connection, gone. That was the first harvest of Satan in the realm of man. Satan fully harvested Cain. When you talk about harvest, Satan too is looking for harvest. Satan is looking for harvest. And he harvests are men. Men that he can totally disconnect them from God. Spirit, soul, and body. So there's a warfare going on. It's a warfare of harvest. Disobedience and fall of man. The first man, Adam, was placed in the garden and commanded to till it and eat freely of every tree, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Through subtlety, the serpent beguiled Eve to partake of the tree, after which she gave her husband, and they both ate. The fruit of the forbidden tree opened man's eyes to another reality, which brought the walking of death within him. His spirit died, his soul gradually began to die, and death eventually took over his body. So his spirit died. Instantly, the spirit died. But the soul is a learning machine. The soul cannot just die. You know, the spirit is like a plug. It's either on or off. That's how the spirit is. But the soul is not like that. The soul is way more complex. The soul must learn before it can arrive, before it can attain. So man began to learn death that the spirit man has already, you know, partaken of. Can we say amen? And eventually, death caught up with the body. By disobedience in the garden, sin, you know, man is the only person that can permit. Man permitted sin into his world, and death passed upon all men from one generation to another. Men fell short of God's glory and further wandered away from God, fulfilling the lusts of another. That another, you know, is the devil. Can we say amen? Amen. So for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Can we say all have sinned? Because it said in one man, all died. You know, because we don't know how many years Adam spent in the garden. We don't know how many years. But there was a mandate upon him. You know, I believe before they would have allowed him to begin to bring forth, they wanted him to get to a particular point. So when you look at, you know, that man has spent, we don't know how many years. It could be hundreds of years. It could be thousands of years. And then, you know, the food that they gave him to eat was trees. Be eating fruits. Fruits everywhere. I know that should give you a sense that the tree that was planted in the middle of the garden, which is a tree of life that God put there, is not a tree you can just wake up one morning and say, okay, well, all these trees, I'm tired. Let me go and eat of that tree. Because by the time man fell, they drove him because they said so that he would not put forth his hand and eat of that tree. So the sense to eat that tree had to be grown in man. So it's not automatic that because they planted that tree is higher than his current level. So there were preparations, there were growings, there were different things that he was supposed to do before he came to that point whereby he'll be able to partake of the tree of life. But the second tree that was in the middle of the garden that we know that it's not God that planted it. The person that planted it came and began to advertise it. Because God told him what to eat. Say, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, right? But there's one in the middle of the garden. Why will God allow Satan to plant his tree there? Because the truth of the matter is that for man to come into the harvest of God, man must be tried. Because God does not want a harvest of robots. So when you create machines now, you program, you know, man wants an intelligence. You know, I've seen movies whereby artificial intelligence began to have emotions. But you know that thing is. But what God wants is a harvest of sons that they place before them life and death, but they choose life. Because why? If you place life only before me, I don't have any option. And Satan will say, these are not really, really, really sons. These sons, you manufacture them. Put all of them inside the same thing. But the only thing that can show that, yes, these people are actually harvest truly is that there's death and there's life. Those two things in the garden were death and life. The tree of good and evil is a tree of death. That's why they say, if you eat of it, you will die. God said, you will surely die because it is a tree of death. The other tree was the tree of life. So they placed before Adam life and death. And then man chose what? He chose death. Man chose death. And people are very angry with Adam. Oh my God, that man just chose. See, you now have done better. Only God knows if Adam spent 1,000 years in the garden before they brought Eve to him. I don't know. I'm just saying. And then, you know, Eve is a help. You know, that's why sometimes what a man has in his heart, meantime, when a woman comes, they only help you to be better at it. That man, Adam, wanted to partake of that tree. But he didn't want to go directly to the tree. Why was it that when they said, why have you eaten? He said, it's the wife that you gave me. What? Scripture says that who was beguiled, who was deceived was Eve. Adam was not deceived. Adam had knowledge. And God was looking at him to make a choice. God will come and fellowship with him, but that choice, God will not attend to it. You be the one to decide. And when the woman came, he said she gave to her husband with her. Some people say that, oh, the man went out, he went to teach the guy, not go anywhere. Bible says with her. Say with her. So all the time that the spirit was talking to Eve, Adam was also there, maybe doing some things. But as soon as she took it and she ate like this and gave it to him, the guy said, chop him. And it was not like maybe she lied that, okay, this and no, he knew what he was eating. That's why they call it disobedience. Adam disobeyed. Adam disobeyed. The workings of death within man speak more to the separation between God and the entities that make man up rather than inactivity or non-existence. Man lost his connection to his source and bore another identity different from what God had in mind from the beginning. Isaiah 59 verse 2, we can see that very same man that was always connected to God. God was saying, what has separated us? But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. It was not so from the beginning. Romans chapter 3, let's look at the current state of man through disobedience over the years. That it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. These are human beings. Human beings, poison of asp. Poison of asp. When you look at the book of Isaiah, when he began to describe the different natures of man, you see a fine boy, the guy in a lion. You see a very beautiful girl, figure 8, but then she's a snake. And then you, blind brother, what you are seeing is the figure. And you can by yourself marry a snake into the house. And say, daddy, I am just led. The truth of the matter is that you can't see those natures easily. Those natures are natures of the soul. You can package the powder, but it's there. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at what they call man. What they call the man has become many things. That's why when you look at certain religions, they get angry. They say, oh, you're saying that Jesus Christ is your good works that we use to... I say, how can your good works change this nature? They say, can a leopard cleanse his spots? That spot is coming from gene nature. That spot is coming from blood. So no matter hypo that you can get, buy hypo, let it finish on that leopard. By the time you are done, the stuff will become worse. So there is nothing you can do by yourself to help yourself. Nothing. Nothing. Say good works. Let's just be good people. Humanism. Let's just be nice. See this person. See, in fact, of recent, social media is full of all these things. Just see somebody on the road and say, oh my God, because you buy the person something. No sponsor. Yeah. Oh my God. That thing has not changed your nature one bit. Say, can the Ethiopian, this is an African man, change his skin? And you say, we bleach. Or the leopard, he spots. So you don't have the power to change it. Because what brought you to that state is a power. Power. What made you like that is a power. That is Isaiah talking about the different natures of man. Say the wolf. This wolf is a kind of man. It will dwell with the lamb. Say leopard. He will lie down. This is because work has been done on this man. They are under intense power. A young lion, they fattling together. Little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear. The young one. There's a place we're talking about a snake like that. Cockatrice. Just a man. Corny man. Knows how to drive you. That's a snake nature. Don't know. When we see that the power of change is in Jesus, it's not because there's no amount of good you can, there's no amount of religious activities you can do. Say, pray 7 times a day, do this, do that. There's nothing in man to help man. There is nothing in man. You can try to conform to certain religious standards, but it does not affect the natures of sin that has been formed in you. So the only thing that can deliver a man is the power that is in Jesus. Unlike the spirit which died instantaneously, the activity of death in the soul is peculiar, as the soul was designed to learn and to walk. It gradually obeys the reality of what has happened to the spirit before fully embodying it. Romans chapter 6 verse 16 makes us to see that you are servants to whosoever you yield your members to. So know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, the servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience or unto righteousness. So as man kept disobeying, he kept yielding himself to another master. The prosperity of the seed of evil within man raises fleshly sons, whose thoughts and imaginations are only evil continually, with whom the Spirit of the Lord will no longer strive. They walk in the way of Cain, who opened his heart to sin and walked away from the presence of the Lord. Let's quickly look at the consequences of the fall on man's spirit, his soul, and body. Through Adam's disobedience, sin reigned over man, captivating him from his spirit down to his body. Man became enslaved and held captive by sin. All manner of concupiscence was worked within man, who was made to bear the image and likeness of God. How many of you can think of the pain that would have been in the heart of God when the very being that he created for harvest, right before his very eyes, they are changing into something else? When they call a man flesh, what they call those animals flesh. They are reducing them to the beast of the field. Reducing a man that was meant to govern earth and then to graduate into heaven. They were now further pulling him down into sin. That's why when Jesus came, what he delivered us from the pit. Pit means that we kept going down. We kept going down. We kept going down. Like a government in a country that you think that this is the worst. And that comes, we wish we had that one. No? You'd have seen this is the worst state man can be until he shows you something. You hear? My God. Iletunwa. Mercy, Lord. Man became without God and without hope, coming under the lordship and influence of Satan, who is now his master. Satan became his father through his dead spirit and fallen works within his soul. He cultured and trained humanity to follow after him and fulfill his will. John 8:44, Jesus told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Man that, you know, the first man, Adam, they linked him to God. They called him the son of God. But then down, 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 some men came and they were able to call them, say, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the loss of your father ye will fulfill. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Man became a prey to fallen spirits who seek to possess his spirit. They also have the right of way to afflict, oppress, and exercise their will over the man who is dead in sin. The working of sin, death, and hell within man makes him walk in misery and condemnation, constantly journeying towards perishing. Even at his best state as a fallen man, he lacks the capacity to discern and choose God, because his default state is always tilted towards destruction. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is what? Is destruction, or are the ways of death. It is worthy to know that a believer may be born again and yet live as a Gentile. For though his spirit is regenerated, his soul may remain in darkness. Until light comes to renew the mind and liberate the heart, he continues to experience the effect of that darkness in his soul and body. Ephesians 4:17 was writing to the church. He said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, all manner of sins of the body, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." So as a believer, you must not be stuck at new births. Because there's a whole lot that is in the mind of God for you. There's a whole lot. There's harvest in your soul that God wants to reap. That 1 Timothy 2:4, divide the harvest into two. Say, God, who will that all men be saved? Talking about the dying world. Right? All men be what? Be saved. How do you become saved? Romans chapter 10. Because this is the first part. He will have all men to be saved. So that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
So God wants all men to be saved. So God is not happy that your boss, your colleagues, your family members, people around you that you are talking to every day, that they are not saved. God wants all men to be what? Saved. You are going to pray to God. God, what's your will? What's your will? Say, God, who will? That what? All men be what? Saved. Very clear. And to what? Come to the knowledge of truth. So a man can be saved and get stuck there. Why? He will not come to the other faces of the harvest. Can we say amen? The state, estate, and judgment of the fallen nature. When Lucifer and his angels fell, their nature became altered and inverted. They corrupted the essence that made them compatible with heaven. Because of their fallen state, they were cast down into hell, a realm consistent and compatible with their new nature. Let's see 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4 said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to where? Where did he cast them? And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now that's why your nature is always compatible with your habitation. Your nature is always compatible with your what? Habitation. The reason why man can live on earth is because his body is compatible with the earth. Once you drop that body, you have no business here again. Do you understand that? Reason why angels stay in heaven is because the climate of heaven is compatible with their nature. When Lucifer fell, his body, his soul, whatever he was created with, all his pipes and tablets became incompatible with heaven. They could no longer stay there. So God had to put them where? In hell. So their nature and their location is called hell. Now, when man partook of the fallen seed, it's not just that he sinned outwardly. He ingested a nature. He imported the properties and realities of hell into his being and by extension into the world he governs. That's why hell currently is on earth. Because we have imported the realities of hell into our existence. That's why a man can be living in hell while he's on earth. He doesn't need to die to go to the location. There's a location. But first of all, there's an allocation. That allocation is the economy. There's an economy called hell that a man can live in. And that is because you are transacting with properties of hell. When you are taking things of evil spirits and you are glorying in it, you are living in hell. A contentious woman. No, when you enter some houses, the tension is just hot. Everywhere is hot. Inside AC, you are sweating. You see that hell is there. Because you can, that's hell. You are holding anger. Say, who will hold fire in his bosom? And you are holding fire of hell. It will burn you. Because it is what? It's hell. There are hellish properties that we are dealing with. And then eventually we say, this is me. Ah, may that not be you. Because that is a property of hell. That is a property of hell. When you hold on to malice, you are holding on to hell. Hold on to unforgiveness, you are holding on to hell. Hold on to envy, that is hell talking. Hold on to jealousy, that is hell burning inside of you. You don't need to die and go there yet. Already enjoying the fire here. Because that's not the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Lord cleanses you from all those strange fires. Carnality, sensuality, and corruption and natures aligned with evil spirits. Hence, the dead spirit and darkened soul of man is hellish in nature, making man's present reality a state of hell on earth. James chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Say, but if ye have bitter envying, say bitter envying, and strife, where? Where? Do you know these people are born again? They are born again, no? But you can still have these things in your what? Say, glory not. Ah, many of us, we glory in these things. Ah, say, if he knows who I am. It might not be said like that. But then, something happens. So go and apologize. You are telling God, do you know who I am? God say, go and apologize. Say, no. You are glorying. That's glory. You say, well, stay on your lane. Let me stay on my lane. Those things are hellish speakings. They are hellish sayings. You are interacting with properties of hell. Say, glory not. Ah. Bitter envy and strife. This thing is strife in your heart. You have strife in your heart and you are glorying in it. These are properties of hell. Say, don't lie against the truth. Because this wisdom descended not from above. But it's what? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. These are hellish properties. These are things of hell. These are things of hell. We carry hell in our hearts. This thing that they are carrying. If ye have bitter envy and strife, where? In your heart. We can carry hell in our heart. And because of that, God will not be able to harvest us. Civilizations that have evolved upon the earth over centuries have produced weak and blind men. Contrary to the lie of advancement being peddled, nations of the earth are under a thick veil and a cast of evil spirits who propagate lies and falsehood. Isaiah 25 verse 7. Talked about the cast. Let's go to Isaiah 28 verse 15. So because he have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing score shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge. No man can make lies his refuge. That means I say, lie not against the truth. It's that you are not sincere enough to acknowledge this work. I say, this thing is a work of hell and I must let it go. We cover it with religiosity, we cover it with piousness, we cover it, but yet it is pride that is talking. We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. May God have mercy. Yeah. It's appointed unto man to die once, and after this judgment, every unsaved person upon death descends into hell, because of the nature within them. There they remain in torment until the appointed time when they are cast into the lake of fire, meant for the devil and his angels, which is the second death. Every man that dies unsaved cannot gravitate to heaven, because the nature within you always gravitates to the source of that nature. Pahagin, in his experience on his deathbed, he said he died three times. So immediately he died like this, his spirit began to descend into hell. They descend into a pit of darkness and blackness. Darkness and blackness. His spirit began to descend. If not for mercy that called him back, they have stayed there for a while before they are cast into the lake of fire. That's the reality of every man that hears the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and refuses it. Because it is appointed. No, once a man dies, and it was mercy that brought him up. He was affiliated with church. He was going to church. He was, I've forgotten which denomination he belonged to. You know, he knew some religious rites and the likes. But his heart had not believed in the Lord Jesus. His heart had not come into that agreement that Jesus is the Lord of his life. You know, if you are here this morning, you know, that reality is not a joke. You know, many times, revelation-wise, we don't preach these things. But the truth of the matter is that when a man dies,
If a man dies in the state of being unsaved, he gravitates into hell. That is the pre-final, not final. Because hell is just torment of evil spirits. Then they will now carry hell itself and then cast it into the lake of fire. That's an eternal separation from God.
Now, just in case you are here this morning and you have been coming to church, you know church language, or you just come, you've been built up to go to church. I just feel you won't feel complete if you have not attended church, or you have not really believed the Lord Jesus. Can we bow our heads this morning? You know, the eternal state of a man is very important. You must not live today without believing. You must not live today without believing. You know, just like that Ethiopian eunuch, Philip asked him, "Do you believe?" And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." I want you to say in your heart, now I'm not saying you should confess your sins. No, confession of sins doesn't save you. The person that saves you is the Lord Jesus. Just bow your heart, bow your head, and say, "Jesus, Jesus, I believe in you. I received your work, your finished work for me. I beg you, my Lord and my Savior. I believe all that you have done for me. I confess with my mouth your Lordship. I believe with my heart that you are my Lord. My spirit is saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed." Can we say amen? Amen. Can we say amen? Amen? No man should die and go to hell, because Jesus already paid the price. Jesus already is the substitute for that. No man should go to hell. That boss you are laughing with, if he's not born again, you should be pitying him. You should never compare yourself with anybody that is not born again, because their eternal judgment is sorrow. Eternal judgment is sadness, is a regret and sighing. Hallelujah. Redemption and salvation in Jesus. Through God's abundant mercy, he sent the Lord Jesus for the redemption and salvation of man, delivering him from the hold of sin, death, and hell, thereby enabling him to come into the fullness of God's plan. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 5. Say, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Whosoever believes in his heart in the Lord Jesus and confesses him as the Lord is instantaneously saved, being quickened in his spirit, while his soul is added to the church for the process of salvation." Acts 2:47. Say, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So there's what we call the instantaneous salvation that happens to your spirit once you believe and you confess with your mouth. According to Romans chapter 10, you know, you are saved. Your spirit man is saved. Immediately you are quickened, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the soul is added to the church.
For what?
For the process of salvation. We have said it earlier. The soul does not automatically receive what the spirit has partaken of. The soul must what? Must learn. So they added the soul to the church for the purpose and the process of salvation. Now, as a believer, we must consciously engage the process of growth. Cast off hellish properties that reside within the soul and those that manifest as habits in the body. You must grow up and stand as a force to stop the advance of hell, being equipped to save others also. Can we say amen? Amen. Now you have been added to the church, but you must know that there's something militating against the church. They call it the gate of hell. Gate of hell wants to swallow everything called church. That's the agenda. But Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus said, "What? I will build my church." And the what? So if a church remains as a baby, will they overcome? It is a built church that can push back the advance of hell.
is a built church that can even help others that hell is swallowing. He said hell has enlarged their mouth. Hell wants to swallow a lot of people. You see decrees coming out in nations, different ideologies springing up from different places. It is for the purpose of hell enlarging his mouth, and he wants to bring many into it. He said, therefore, hell shall enlarge herself and open her mouth without measure. Without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. There is a sorrow we must come into as believers, because this rejoicing is a rejoicing in the flesh, and it can suck men in. That's why when you look at, you know, last point here, I really want to emphasize on it, say persistent and unchecked practices of this without repentance can bring death again to the believer, ultimately making him a candidate for hell and the lake of fire. So you have been saved. Say, I have been saved. My spirit man has been saved. But when you don't check certain works of the flesh and you are persistent, habitual natures, and then there's no cry in your heart to break free from them, and you consistently use them. One thing that thing is doing that is killing conscience. It's affecting conscience. It's affecting sensitivity. No, because the truth of the matter is that any habit that's going through right now, anything that you are seeing as a mountain before you, there is enough power to break free from it. There's enough power to break free from it. Yes, it's enough power to break free from it. But if you begin to excuse yourself, well, I'm still a work in progress, you fight like a demon. You will not smile with it. Because the demons are not smiling with you. They want to drag you into second death. Like you see somebody holding you and then saying, oh, let's go and jump this cliff together. And he's holding you firmly. How will you run away? You say, oh no, now don't drag me too much. You know, I don't want to go that direction. And you're going, please leave me alone. I don't. And you're following. Some of you will end up in that ditch. But there's a violence. There's a violence that you, I cannot continue with this, because this thing is headed to hell. This thing wants to drag me again, because your spirit man has been regenerated. But my brother, if that spirit man dies, there is no possibility again for that spirit. So we should not use happy to a point where you become comfortable with it. Say, well, that's just my dealing. That's not how God is dealing with you. That nature is a hell property. God does not want you to hold hellish properties. God wants you to cast them off. He said there are some things that should not be once named amongst us. Knowing that God wants to see harvest, because what God wants to do, say about fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you. And here we are. Say, well, that's just me. That's not your process. No. We don't want it named amongst us. Mean that if you see it, you must fight it like a demon. You must be aggressive against it. Say, you will not take me down with you. I have been made free in my spirit. My soul is partaking of that freedom. And my body is not a slave to sin. There's freedom in the house. There's freedom in the house. And that's how we begin the lesson. I'm still going to look at how to reach out to the dying world. Our first of all, internally as a house, God wants to harvest us. But if you look at Israel, God tied all harvests to worship. And three times, male must appear before the Lord with harvests in their hands. So a man can be a believer but never appear before God, because he doesn't have harvest. He has not grown his soul to bring forth harvest pleasurable to the Father. So at that point, the feast of barley, the feast of wheat, the feast of ingathering, they bring something with them to the Lord. That's when you appear before God. So God tied the agricultural life to worship. That's how you worship, by harvest. And we are going to look into that, you know, as we continue in the lesson.
Can we just find strength in the house this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just sing this song? It's an old song, but I just want us to I just found it in my spirit as well. Each time, you know, we start some series, we start with spirit, soul, and body. And that's just because God is a builder. If we understand the beginning of something, it's easy to find alignment and build properly. So it's not a vain repetition, but it's a repetition for us to understand the beginning of this journey and what it means. How many of us know this song? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Before we continue singing, you know, when that SIM card was taken away, they didn't repair the SIM card. They gave us another net, another. They didn't repair our spirit. They gave us another spirit. And the spirit they gave us was not Adam's spirit. They gave us the spirit, the material, Christ, which is of the world to come. So actually, your spirit combination, your spirit makeup, you're actually an alien on this earth. Actually. Because you already have something that belongs to the world to come. You know, so that thing is actually a great miracle. Because the gospel is called what? The good news. That means there's something that is inside you. There's a network inside you. Your phone might have different old files. You know, if you remove network, it doesn't mean your media will go away. Your video will still be there. Text will still be there. Past SMS will still be there. But the network is off, right? Sometimes, maybe if you travel, as a maybe you travel on an airplane, maybe from Abuja to Lagos. When you are traveling, your network will go off. Immediately, you arrive the airport. You just put it on. You just see all the messages coming in. How many of you know the gospel is a message flowing in like that? The moment your spirit was quickened, SMS from eternity began to download. Media began to come in. You understand? Good news, different. Some you don't understand yet, but they are properties of the world to come. Began to stream into your device. Began to stream into you. You know, so that is a great reality. You know, we are talking about the vision of the harvest. And that's why we are starting with this. Can we just sing that song one more time? I want you to sing it. We are yet to see some of these realities in the soul. But if you can have network, if you can have network, that's all that we need to journey to where God is taking us. Can we sing it again?
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
I'm a brand new man.
I'm a new creation.
You know, whatever you are struggling with, whatever the issue of nature, of habits, I want you to know that this is your reality. This is where God is speaking from. And that is the hope we are anchoring to. And this is what our soul is going to attain to.
That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our reality.
Simas the most, Martina Manas the most, Monst the most. The bond.
Oh Jesus, Sevana Kokro, Fafreke Deneshuvarana Tondrani on Tabla Have, Someone Berfuvon, Tandrande Nega, Kando, Senengon, Subanto Velenia, Mass Exodus. Sight in a mass exodus. Oh, the vision of a mass exodus. Many transit from death to life. Many go from death to life. Many crossing over into life. Oh, bond. For this bed is tied. There are things tied to this bed. Oh, great things tied to this bed. Mio talavido teple utemlenianta. Beautiful things following after. Beautiful things following after. Oh, it can only get better and better and better and better and finer and finer and finer and much more desirable. Oh, bet. A bet with many things bonded. Even many things bonded. A bundle of joy. A bundle of blessing. Oh, bet. Reborn. Born again. Newly born. Oh, many blessing ties. I'm showing you that you would appreciate, and you would appropriate. Oh, bet. It's a beautiful one. For there is a vision ahead. There is a vision in my heart, and you should also carry this vision. Oh, it's a mass exodus from death to life, say the Spirit of God.
Amen. But every morning, let's thank Jesus for quickening our spirits. Thank him for quickening your spirits. Just thank him every morning, no matter your journey, no matter what. If your spirit can be quickened, there's no visa on it, there's no permanent residence, there's no green card that can be quitted, that your spirit is quickened. That means you have access into that world to come. You have a token of access into that world to come. It's not meant for us to relax in that, but I'm saying that is worthy of thanksgiving. That's worthy of thanksgiving. One more scripture, Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, Akin, behold, there went out a sower. When he talked about the parable of the sower. Then when he went out, and when he was alone, that's in verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So that means that when it comes to the issue of seed and harvest and the kingdom, that principle, that parable is like, Jesus said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand the rest. And that parable is concerning things of the kingdom. The whole story of man started in the garden. Planting and sowing, right? And we are going to see it end. Jesus said at the end of the age, when he also talked about that parable of the harvest, you know, when sons of either perdition or sons of the kingdom will mature. So this is just a teaser for the rest of the teaching. I just trust God as we go into this series. One of the things, one of the vision, the strong vision is that we will have the burden of the Lord, you know, concerning the harvest. We would understand the fundamental, what it means to sow and what it means to reap. We would understand on that I'm a seed. You know, the scripture says that being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So something is going on. Planting is going on. Nurturing is going on. But what kind of planting am I being? What kind of seed am I turning out to be? And what kind of measure of harvest will be gotten from me? You know, I trust that the Lord Jesus will help us concerning this series. I trust that the Lord will help us. You know, I want to end on this note. There was one status I saw that Ryan Bunkin was speaking. I trust God that we'll understand what the good news is. We'll really understand it. You know, he was saying that if you are the biggest sinner in Shaki, remember, and you confess the Lord Jesus, you are going to heaven. But if you like, be the most religious person and you refuse to confess him, the way he said you are going to hell, down, down. You know, I trust God as we go out in the week to steer us up, you know, into a trust concerning the harvest, the different measures of the harvest. I trust God that will witness Jesus to people this week. I trust God that will share the good news to people this week and will rescue some out of the flame, even eating the garment of the flesh, making a difference and having compassion. Can we bow down our heads and begin to pray?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.